And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Welcome aboard the Athletics Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets with Tim McMaster, Zach Rosenblatt, and Marissa Dunn.
Can't wait!
It is the final game preview episode of the 2023 season. Thanks for joining us here on the Can't Wait podcast. Tim McMaster here along with Zach Rosenblatt, our reporter for the Jets at The Athletic, and Marissa Dunn, our producer who is back and thriving in her first week back on the job. I am still trying to get my voice back, but I'm doing a little better than last episode, so we'll see how this goes. $2 per month to join The Athletic right now. Go to theathletic.com/can't wait. So that's that bargain, and continue to give us great reviews wherever you listen to or watch the podcast. We appreciate that. We have a lot to get to. Pro Bowlers, Pro Bowl snubs. The Jets just released their team awards like minutes before we started the podcast. We'll get into that. We'll preview the Patriots game. Should the Jets win? Should the Jets not? All of that good stuff. Who's playing their final game for the Jets? So plenty to get to. Zach, you were apartment shopping this morning. That's why we're starting late. Did you find one?
Man, it's been a stressful we've looked at like so many apartments over the last month. I did like the one I saw today, but I just want to like, it's one of the things after you've seen enough, you just want to like figure out where you're going. And we even found like the spot because we need like, you know, you're never going to get all the things you want when you're apartment hunting, obviously. So we're like trying to weigh what do we want, more space? Do we want a better location, the amenities? And there's also like the date when it starts and like how much time we can give ourselves at the current apartment. Like it's, as anyone, I mean, I'm not the first person to ever do this.
There's nothing like moving in the New York City area. There's nothing like it.
That's the thing. We found like buildings we like, but there's, it's just like always missing like one thing, like, or it's like one thing against it. So we really have to like do a pro and con. Like we're not going to get everything we want. We know that, but it's definitely been like a stressful, and I got yelled at for being cranky about it today. So I need to be better.
It's Friday. Come on. What are you cranky about? It's week 18.
It's almost over.
Are you only searching in Jersey City or are you thinking about leaving JC?
No, we're staying Jersey City. Okay. Jersey City, Hoboken area, more likely Jersey City because Hoboken's pretty expensive. But
yeah,
downtown JC, they've really built up like a lot. Like there's some really cool like high rise buildings and stuff. So we've seen some cool ones. Like there, a lot of these places have golf simulators as like one of the amenities. So if I was ever going to start playing golf, as Connor has been begging me to for a while, and I can come on the pod and talk about it as everybody wants.
Oh gosh, we might get a whole new audience again once we start talking about golf,
or lose the audience.
Or lose.
All right. Well, good luck. Good luck the rest of the way.
We got a listener from Ireland watching us live.
Yeah. Thanks, Brendan, for joining us. And I should mention, we were hoping to get the leader of the picks on, but he's actually British as well. Not as well. Ireland.
Wow. That was very offensive what you just said, I think.
Yes. Not, I didn't mean as well. He is from the other side of the ocean as well. How about that?
We went to journalism school, not... You know, yes. Our geography's not
great. Yeah, geography's not great.
Yeah, true. No,
but,
yeah,
very true. But Jimbo could not join us because he is from England and the time zones, and he was traveling. So, but we're hoping to get somebody on about the picks here soon. Maybe he'll keep the lead, and we'll try it again.
Watch it.
My bad. Hey, I am Irish, so
yeah,
I got you.
McMaster.
I got you,
right? Brandon.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to the Jets. The Jets are green. That's why, you know, it's all good.
there you go.
All right, Pro Bowlers. Let's start there. Two for the Jets. They're kind of the obvious ones. Quinnen Williams, Sauce Gardner, both on the defense. But I don't even think it's worth talking about that. We should just get into the snubs, I think, Zach, right? Like Quincy Williams, not a Pro Bowler, is just, I don't even know where to begin.
It's crazy because he was first among AFC linebackers in fan voting, but he finished a fifth alternate like that, which means coaches and players didn't really vote him as much. Like I think there's a big part of it is that he's on a losing team. Like it's hard for guys on losing teams to like break in and get there unless they're like a name like Sauce Gardner and Quinnen already, who both deserve it, but they're like they have a reputation already, whereas Quincy like built his reputation up this. And I thought he got a lot of hype, not even just locally. Like, I saw like, you know, even like guys like Nate Tice and guys who like really watch football, like just like hyping up how good Quincy's been this year. He deserved it. Maybe he'll get an all pro, which, you know, I've seen a lot of people responding that way. Like if he gets voted all pro, that kind of makes up for it a little bit. So, you know, it for everyone saying like it, Pro Bowl doesn't matter, like the games don't matter. But I think these guys, like it matters to them. And I think, and I know all pro is usually weighed heavier on like contract stuff, but I think Pro Bowl is factored in. It's factored in, you know, I'm not saying Quincy will get there, but like when a guy is going for his the Hall of Fame, like the amount of times they've made the Pro Bowl is something that's considered too. Like it does matter. Even if like guys get in that don't deserve it all the time. Like Tyler Huntley is obviously the big example, and he got in randomly. I think that was last year. But yeah, Quincy not making it.
Yeah.
But Quincy not making it. Yeah. That really, really surprised me. And not only not making it, but being such a like deep alternate. I think he was maybe the most deserving Pro Bowler on the team, arguably, if you just like consider both stats and tape. Sauce and Quinnen are the most deserving in terms of like their actual play. But if you could like just factor everything in, like Quincy is having a great year for an inside linebacker. He'll get another chance to make it again next year and he'll be motivated and all that stuff. But yeah, I was surprised by that one for sure.
How often do, I mean, generally all pros are all Pro Bowlers. Like, I don't know if I've ever, has that happened very frequently?
It does happen like that sometimes, which is like, you know, it's different people voting for the two body. Like it's media that votes for the all pro.
I think Mitchell Schwartz famously is one of them that's never made a Pro Bowl, but he's been an all-pro.
Even Kelsey, I think there's been years where Kelsey like didn't make Pro Bowl, but was all-pro. Like it's offensive line, I feel like, is often the one because I don't know how much fans like. I think fans vote for the names with offensive line a lot of time, whereas like not just saying the media always knows what they're talking about either, but I feel like generally the all-pro list is more reflective of, you know, the reality. And even like, if Quincy didn't make it, like CJ Mosley also not making it is kind of a surprise to me, even though I think Quincy deserved it more than him. CJ was an all-pro and a Pro Bowler last year, and I think he's played pretty much at the same level. So, you know, it's all, there's a lot of factors that go into it. And, you know, it's not like even players and coaches maybe are watching everybody, but players aren't watching every team. So in their voting, who knows how they're factoring in things and stuff like that. I think it is pretty telling that Sauce didn't make it, though, because he was 10th in the fan voting, but he got voted in, which means his peers do respect him, which I think he maybe questioned that sometimes. Yeah, but I think he questioned that sometimes because you'll have like cornerbacks randomly coming out and talking trash about them for no reason. And I think other fan bases don't like him for whatever reason, but clearly the league respects him. So
the other snub, not as much probably as Quincy, but DJ Reed, I mean, here's another guy that the problem there, I think, is clearly Sauce, right? Like this team is bad. You're not going to put both corners from the
two guys from one position.
Pro Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a DJ's a interesting, like I never thought he would make it in. The fact that he's not even an alternate is what the part that was like, again, it's like, you're right. It's they're on a losing team. And I imagine everybody like just had Sauce and or Quinnen as their token Jets guy. Like maybe they're not thinking about that when they're going through the positions, but as you're like voting, you're like, all right, I'm going to vote Sauce. I can't really put two Jets corners here, so I'm going to keep going like the otherwise that I got. And it's not like DJ puts up amazing like interception numbers either, like Sauce. So I didn't necessarily expect him to make it. I do think he doesn't get as much respect around the league as he deserves. I've seen some angry fans pushing back because DJ had one bad game against the Dolphins. He's been good just about every game this year. The reason they don't travel is because DJ's holding down his end of the conversation on the other side. And it, even to a lesser degree, I think you could argue Michael Carter, like if they really went positionally, which they probably should in the modern NFL, like edge rusher, inside linebacker, outside linebacker, defensive tackle, defensive end, corner, like nickel corner, I think Michael Carter would get in, honestly. But that's not how this voting works. It's a more broad voting body. But yeah, I think those are the two. And Thomas Morstead, you know, only two punters make it, so it's hard to call that a huge snub. He is the first alternate. Greg Zuerlein deserves it. I guess to that end, Thomas Hennessy also deserves it. Schmeidel will give the whole operation a Pro Bowl bid. But I'd say Quincy is the big, big shocker for sure. And I think in the future, you'll see Breece Hall and or Garrett Wilson. I just think they weren't quite able to get there with the numbers because the offense is a disaster around them. So,
and Garrett made it last year as a rookie and then bounced off this year. All right. So that's the Pro Bowl. The Jets Team Awards came out today, and I don't think this necessarily like makes up for it, but Quincy Williams gets the Curtis Martin Team MVP award. So obviously, you know, his teammates know how important he was, but that is significant considering the other guys that are on this team. You know what I mean? Like Quinnen and Sauce and Breece and all these guys that Quincy was considered the MVP of this team by his teammates.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know that I would have predicted he would win that award, because we even talked about in the media, like, who he thinks going to win team MVP. I think I generally leaned toward Quinnen Williams, or even like to, I don't know if a roster would vote in a special teams guy, but like Zerline or Thomas Morsett, I think both have a case, honestly.
That would be amazing.
But I mean, Quincy, again, he had a great year. Like, you know, I think he's really developed into a nice player, and he's really made it so they have two really good linebackers, and that's all you really need in this defense. So the Jets deserve credit for developing him, honestly, too. I know we give them a lot of criticism on that coaching staff, but they've developed quite a few defensive guys into really talented players.
We do give the defensive coaching staff credit, though. I'll say that.
That's fair.
All right. The other team awards. Dennis Byrd, most inspirational, goes to Aaron Rodgers, not playing, but still inspired.
Never heard of him. Who's that?
Yeah, who's that guy? Tyler Conklin gets the Good Guy Award. I think you've talked about that before, right?
Yeah. Well deserved.
Justin Hardy, community service. Breece Hall, most courageous for coming back from the injury. Xavier Gibson, the rookie who acts like a pro. And CJ Mosley gets the Selfless Warrior Award. So those all seem to make sense to me.
Yeah. I know Justin Hardy is great in the community. He had a tough year with injuries, but he's a guy that's in his last year of his contract. I'm curious if they bring him back. I know they value him. Breece earned that award. Certainly he played every game this year, which is pretty impressive for a guy coming off ACL surgery. Tyler Conklin, I've spoken about him. We have the Media Good Guy Award coming out. I won't spoil it, but you know, there might be some similarities there. and Xavier Gibson. Yeah. He emerged as like a legit player. Like he played as a player that should have been drafted. I'm not sure that he's shown necessarily enough that you can rely on him as like a top three receiver. Like you can go into the offseason saying he is locked in as our number three or number two or whatever. But that was another victory for Joe Douglas in the scouting department, getting an undrafted rookie. Tony Adams has become a quality player, I think. You have him. You have Bryce Huff, who we're going to talk about. But yeah, that's all those awards kind of make sense to me.
Yeah, and pretty cool for that rookie award to go to an undrafted guy too. There's obviously
a
higher profile player. Well, it speaks highly of Gibson, and it also maybe speaks low of the actual draft class. But we've talked plenty about that. All right, let's get to some news of the week beyond that. And the next thing I wanted to get to is Nathaniel Hackett with some interesting comments yesterday that have kind of made some headlines around Breece Hall. We're going to play it for you. And then
courtesy of Boy Green, of course.
What he said. Yeah, this is a courtesy Boy Green who gives us all our Twitter clips.
You know, I think you look back at that first game and he came out and exploded. And I think that there was a transition for him getting into football shape, you know, missing all of OTAs, all of training camp, but you could see some how dynamic he was going to be. I don't think I was ready for him to be as productive as he was in the past game. I think that's something that has added a whole dimension to things that we can do, lining up a wide receiver, catching the ball from the backfield. And when he touches the ball, I mean, he could score at any time. So I think he's gotten better as the year has gone on too. I think that's been great to see, but it'll be great to have an off season and be able to work with him even more and get him involved earlier.
When did you realize that?
The one that jumps out to me big time was that because you knew he was going to be really good in the run game. That had always kind of shown from the year before and just some of the things he did early in the season. But that check down he caught versus the Giants was unbelievable. And I mean, it really stood out that, you know, it wasn't just check downs that you wanted to get to, but you wanted to really try to game plan to get him the ball from the backfield. And, I think he's done a very good job this year and excited for the future for him.
And that check down against the Giants week eight, that's when it finally settled in on Nathaniel Hackett that Breece Hall was a weapon out of the backfield. I mean, he only played seven games as a rookie. but he had some big moments catching the ball, Zach. How is this possible?
I mean, not only did he have big moments, but he killed Nathaniel Hackett last year against the Broncos before he got
right with the long one. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of indicative of this whole season. It was just like it took them so long to like figure out what they had, how to do it. It took them forever to adjust to life after Aaron Rodgers. I don't think this was intentional, but it feels like you almost punted on a season because you just were not able to adjust in the moment. And I think they're going to take a lot of lessons from this. They've talked about that a lot, Robert in particular. Even Nada said he has to self-evaluate. That's what coaches say at the end of a bad season every time, obviously. But I think they probably learned a lot about how to handle themselves in adversity. I think there was a lot of excuse making throughout the season. At the end of the season, the coaches finally, at least in terms of Hackett and Saleh, I think Ulbrich has always put it on himself. Same with Brant Boyer. There's too much excuse making. I've talked about this. I won't go too deep into it again. But ultimately, you have Breece Hall getting the ball. You have Garrett Wilson getting the ball. It's not that complicated. Like, I know, you know, teams are going to scheme to try and stop them. And there was weeks where Breece Hall was not running the ball well because the run blocking wasn't great. And there's a lot of things against you. But, like, you're supposed to scheme these guys open. I think they should have a better supporting cast around Breece and Garrett next year, which should help. But ultimately, that quote is one that would have been better left unsaid, I would say, because it angered. Fans get angry every time he talks, I would say, every week. But that was one where I don't know if that was something you should have admitted, because week 8 is pretty deep into the season. Even if he had said, like, we didn't feel like Breece was fully back yet, so it wasn't until week 8 where we really unlocked him or whatever, but that's fine. But to say, like, we were surprised at how good he was at pass catching or whatever it was, like, I mean, this is one of the most explosive dudes in the NFL already. So that's pretty inexcusable, frankly.
How much of this is everything we just said, and how much of it is Hackett just being terrible at news conferences?
That is something that can't be overlooked. Like, not every coach is made for these things, in terms of like saying the right stuff or thinking on their feet or whatever. I'm not even saying that he's that or not that, but I don't know if it's necessarily him just saying it, because we saw it. Like, they didn't do that until week 8. So, like, and then Breece Hall is leading all running backs in receiving yards, and he's second in receptions when he was barely even throwing the ball at the beginning of the year. So he became like Alvin Kamara-esque, I would say, except maybe he's a little more explosive than Kamara. Lessons learned, I guess. These are lessons you should have learned a while ago, and most coaches, or not most, but many coaches don't get to survive not doing these things. This has been a Jets thing forever, I should say. Like, it's not just like LaFleur, if you remember last year, beginning of the year, it like took them a little bit to get Breece and Garrett like fully like leading the offense. Like, for whatever reason, these Jets coaches take a while to figure out that you should just get the ball to your best players. They try to get cute. And next year that should hopefully not be a thing, especially if they have a better number two receiver and if they have a better number two running back that can spell Breece a little better than Dalvin Cook did. But yeah, this is just indicative of a terrible offense all year, finally figuring out what they're good at the end of the year.
He did end up with 93 targets, which is a good chunk, but it'd be great if it was 120 targets, right? Like, for the amount of damage he can do.
We should mention that Dalvin Cook did sign with the Ravens, by the way, as Dan Byer just pointed out. And as he said, I fully expect him to like go off for Baltimore now and like win a ring or something, because that's...
I mean, win a ring is definitely possible. They look unstoppable right now. Interesting that he ends up there. Yeah. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, the Patriots are on deck. Here we go. The losing streak. This is the best opportunity to snap it, Zach, but it brings up lots of questions.
Yeah.
Do the Jets want to snap it? Or, I mean, obviously, they want to snap it, but would a loss be better than a win, considering it's week 18? You're not going to the playoffs. There's an opportunity right now. They're picking eighth. There's an opportunity to move up to, with a loss, 6-7, very possible, and maybe even 5 if like a lot of things go right. So, Woody, I know you have a story coming out today, kind of on this, but where do you land?
Yeah, it's fascinating because there's extra layers to it because it's the Patriots, because it's potentially Bill Belichick's last game as their coach. But it would just be like the perfect way for him to leave like one last grenade for the Jets. It, like that beating them actually hurts. Beating the Patriots actually might hurt them a little bit. I think for the future of the franchise, a loss is better. I think that's obvious. The higher you pick in the draft, the more likely you are to pick a good player. But I also think that they're not going to be any higher than fifth, and they probably won't get to fifth because they need a lot to happen. So let's say you're the 7 to 10 range. Like, if you don't get a good player in that range, that's more on the scouting staff and on your GM than on the fact that you fell a couple spots. Because if you look the last few years, like the top 12, there's been studs like across the board, especially the year they picked Zach Wilson, ironically. But
they won't be picking a quarterback next year.
Yeah, and I don't think they will, which is actually.
I mean, I know we're gonna have all offseason. Yeah.
Well,
to talk about
Marissa,
that.
They've done everything to keep Aaron Rodgers happy, so I don't know. Unless he has,
if they don't pick offensive line or wide receiver, I think it would be shocking. But unless there's a guy they're like obsessed with and he falls to them or something like that, but yeah, I mean, look, like, so right now they're eighth. They could go as high as fifth, and they could fall as far as 12th. Last year, Devin Witherspoon went fifth. He was really good for the Seahawks corner. Bijan Robinson went eighth. Jahmyr Gibbs went 12th. All three are solid players. In the 5 to 12 range in 2022, there was Kayvon Thibodeau, Drake London, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson. In 2021, you had Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, Penei Sewell, J.C. Horn, Pat Surtain, Devonta Smith, Micah Parsons. That was a ridiculous draft with like a bunch of like Hall of Famers. But 2020, you had Justin Herbert, Derek Brown, Jedrick Wills. 2019, defensive end Josh Allen, TJ Hockenson, Ed Oliver, Rashawn Gary. Obviously, there's misses in there too, but like, and obviously, the higher to the top five, the more likely you are to get one of those top two, like offensive tackle studs or like a Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers. But if you fall at eighth, you can get a stud. And that's why I don't think it'll be as big of a deal if they win this game as if they, you know, as in 2020 when Braden Mann tackled, the Simba Webster from the Rams and prevented them from getting Trevor Lawrence. Like it won't be as big of a deal as that. And it's hard to get a read on the fans because there are a lot that are like, they need to lose this game. I think generally fans would be happy if they finally beat the Patriots. I do think there's a factor of, you know, maybe getting their last shot at Bill Belichick before he sails off into whatever sunset is the next team that he leads. But yeah, I think this team wants to win. We'll see how they are energy-wise. They did have a long – it's been like 10 – it'll be 10 days since the Browns game, which is a lot for a team without something to play for. So I am very curious to see what their energy is like. The Patriots
are going
to
play
hard no matter what.
We should also mention, I think the forecast is calling for 6 to 12 inches of snow in Foxborough.
Not thrilled about that, I would say.
That could be real interesting.
Yes, and for selfish reasons, I'm not thrilled about that because Baggy day is on Monday. Whenever it's on the road, you have to get back early. So as of now, the plan is to drive home on Sunday night. So
That not, probably won't happen.
Supposed to be done by Sunday night, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we'll see. But I mean, I'm taking the train up there. I'm renting a car kind of thing. But yeah, anyway, the weather is going to be not ideal. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the Jets look. And you know, Belichick is probably going to pull out all the stops because he loves nothing more than the torch of the Jets. I think it's 24 years. It was in 2000. Yesterday was the anniversary of when he resigned as the Jets head coach at his introductory press conference. So,
writing it on a napkin.
So, yeah. So that's, I don't know. I think a win, I don't believe in a win carrying momentum in the offseason kind of BS, but I do think to end on a little more of a positive note would be good, especially because a lot of these guys are going to be back next year. So,
Marissa, do you have any, just being in the world of these players, when you're in this situation, when the playoffs are gone, like, what is the attitude of the players?
Obviously, I was just going to say,
right?
Yeah, Michael always says it's like so dumb to think that teams are going to throw a game because for players, like, that's your resume. Your tape is everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So guys that are free agents, guys Absolutely. That want different contracts, like, you're not going to go out there and just, like, play terrible because – that reflects on you. If you don't even care what goes on with the team, like, at the end of the day, you have to think about yourself. You don't want to put bad tape out there. It's like in the preseason too. Like, totally. Yes, the games don't matter, but guys are going to give everything they have because they're fighting to make rosters. They're fighting to improve their, you know, free agency status. So it's not like they're
bonuses.
Who knows? Yeah. They might have a sack bonus or, you know, like snaps played, whatever. So it's definitely not like the team is going to go out there and just be like, you know, who cares kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it matters to them for sure.
The Athletic, the Pulse, the newsletter we have had some of the key players with something to play for this week. Baker Mayfield can make $2.2 million on Sunday.
Crazy.
They make the playoffs and he has to finish in the top 10 in four categories, but he's already there. So he just has to have a good game and they win $2.2 million. So
yeah,
that was the biggest one, but there was a lot of them. Jadeveon Clowney can make $1 million, I think, with a half a sack. So,
yeah. I think Aiden Hutchinson, I don't know if he has incentives, but he's up there in the sack leaders. So, or not Aiden Hutchinson. I apologize. Trey Hendrickson on the Bengals, who the Browns are playing this weekend. And even though that game does not matter, you know, he's up there. He might want to get those totals. So
that's right. Yeah, it's not like there was jokes people were making about Dalvin Cook before they cut him last week, where he's like, he just needs like 1,400 yards to reach his incentives, like 1,300 more yards to reach his incentives in the last two games or whatever.
So the scenario for the Jets is, before we move on to the other side of this, they are the Titans, Chargers, and Giants are ahead of them. The Jets' strength of schedule is 523, Titans 527, Chargers 520. So that's all really close. And then the Giants are 500. That's why it's less likely that the Jets could catch the Giants. But so they would need the Titans to win, the Chargers to win, the Jets to lose, and then they move up a little bit more than likely. All right, how about players that are playing probably, maybe, their last game for the Jets? We'll start with the one that none of us want to see. And that is Bryce Huff, Zach, because I don't think you could find a single Jet fan, probably anybody in the organization, that wants Bryce Huff playing somewhere else next year. But the fact is, he doesn't have a contract.
Yeah, and you know, he spoke to I think Brian Costello from the Post, and his quotes were like, he pretty much was like, yeah, I mean, I've worked really hard, and I want to get paid, whether that's here or somewhere else, kind of thing, which is not really what I imagine fans wanted to hear, but. I know for a fact that there's absolutely interest in bringing him back. They do not want to lose him, but the price is going to be a factor. This team, you know, they spent a lot of money last offseason, and I think these decisions don't always necessarily come down to just like the GM or the coach wanting a guy. There's also the owner has to approve a big contract, and you know, you just paid Quinton Williams a lot of money. John Franklin Myers got an extension a couple of years ago. They've they just paid Carl Lawson to basically not play for them this year. So, I do think that's a factor. Like, if they want to make a lot of other moves, can you afford to pay Bryce Huff $15 million a year? Like, we'll see. But I do know there's been interest. There's been discussions throughout the year. They haven't come to any agreement. I think any extensions won't happen until after the season. So they're slowly running out of time. But yeah, I don't think you should let that guy leave the building. He's 25 years old. He's an elite pass rusher. The unique part about him is that he hasn't really proven himself yet as like a full-time player, but even in 50% snap load, he's like the second most efficient pass rusher in the NFL behind Michael Parsons. So, I mean, everybody, we're a pro Bryce Huff podcast, obviously. But that's one that I'm very curious to see if he's a Jet next year. Cause if he is, it might, for all we know, I don't know, can they afford to keep everybody on that defensive line? Like that would be the question. So, that's going to be one of the bigger storylines going into this offseason in terms of like guys and whether they bring them back or not. I think he's the most important one.
How much of a factor is the fact that their first round pick last year is Will McDonald? It almost feels like they drafted him to replace Bryce Huff in a lot of ways, or whoever would walk out the door.
Yeah. I mean, they have Jermaine Johnson, who it looks like a stud. You have John Franklin Myers. You have Will McDonald, who just used a first round pick in, and then you have Bryce Huff. So I think it'll be hard to keep all four of those guys long-term ultimately. So you kind of probably have to decide on two or three of them, maybe not in the immediate future, but down the line at the very least. So Will McDonald still has a lot to prove. I think they are confident he can make a Jermaine Johnson type leap. And so if the Jets don't wind up re-signing Bryce Huff, I think keep that in the back of your mind because they feel like maybe he's going to take on a bigger role. But I would not let Bryce Huff leave this building and sign him before free agency starts is what I would do.
All right, some other players who could be playing their last game for the Jets that will make people less upset. Ashton Davis, who's had an up and down, I don't know, like sometimes he's looked like a star. Other times I think the fan base has turned on him. Randall Cobb has been a non-factor. And there's definitely other guys here that, all right, they're gone. We'll live with it.
Yeah, Ashton Davis is one that I'm very intrigued by. He's another one. He's a young guy they developed in this organization. And I think especially if you decide not to bring back Jordan Whitehead, I would make sure to bring back Ashton, and then maybe you draft a safety or you sign like a low cost veteran kind of thing. Safety is not as important of a position in this defense as every other position, I would say. So I would try and bring Ashton back at the right price. Jordan Whitehead, I think he gets a bad rap in this fan base. I don't think he's as bad as the fans think he is. I don't think he's like a star or anything, but I think he can do the job and he knows the defense and he's very well respected in that locker room. Some other guys, Bryce Hall is going to hit free agency and he's going to get a chance to start somewhere, I think, or compete to start. I think he showed he deserved that in that with the Eagles game and the Broncos game this year. I'm trying to think other guys on defense. Solomon Thomas, they really like him in the building. He's a rotational guy. Quentin Jefferson, I would think they would try to bring back at the right price. He is going to be coming off an injury. Randall Cobb, it's kind of going to depend on whether Aaron wants to push to keep him here. Lakin Tomlinson is going to be a very interesting one because he has a big cap hit, $18 million, hasn't really lived up to it. He's well respected, but would he come back at a pay cut or will they cut him for cap savings? And if you do that, then all of a sudden the only position you have 100% locked in is center and wherever you put AVT. So you're creating more holes. But if you feel like you can get an up, like you have to feel like the Jets have to feel like we can get an upgrade from, like, it's not people, guys. Fans often want to say, well, just cut that guy and save the money. But like, you also have to replace him with somebody either as good or better. So if the Jets don't believe they can do that, then I don't know that they want to get rid of him.
And you have to look at that as a total like cap hit, yeah, like between the two guys. Yeah. Right. So
exactly. Yeah. Cause you're still paying Lakin if you cut him. So,
right.
Yeah. So a lot of, Carl Lawson, this is obviously going to be his last game here. Curious to see if they give him some playing time. So he can kind of, he hasn't really played like at all this year. So, CJ Uzomah's already on the injury reserve. I would imagine that he's probably done with the Jets unless he takes a pay cut. It's guys like that. Like there's no like significant ones leaving, which is why they should be able to run it back to a degree, especially on defense, which is kind of nice. And I think they didn't restructure CJ Mosley last year, which I thought was pretty interesting. I don't think you can let him go though. So I'm curious. He's going to have like a $21 million cap hit. That's a lot. So I'm curious to see what that looks like if they extend them or restructure or whatever. And you have other guys that set to hit free agency next year, or like a Michael Carter II or a DJ Reed. You have a fifth year option decision coming on AVT. Like there's a lot of financial things they have to consider. I don't think they have a lot of flexibility. You can make space, push to the future, but they already did that a lot last year. They have like $20 million in dead cap because of void years this year that are just going to be hanging on the salary cap sheet this year. So, some bad financial decisions last year, I think, but they had to do it to get Aaron Rodgers and his buddies in here. So,
Yeah, sometimes you got to make that deal with the devil.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, let's switch to the Patriots. And obviously, maybe Bill Belichick's last game. It certainly looks that way. And a couple of stories came out this week on The Athletic. Chad Graff has one story about the dysfunction of the organization, and then an even more scathing story in the Boston Herald. And some of the stories out of this are just like, this is not the Patriots that we've kind of seen for the last 20 years. Bill O'Brien basically was allowed to come in and take over the offense, but Bill Belichick didn't want him to, reportedly, and then didn't allow him to bring basically anybody with him of any value. So he's been kind of on an island. The two quarterbacks don't speak. There's been issues with the offensive line and the philosophy of coaching there. Juju Smith-Schuster's had a blowout. Just like one thing after another that you see these stories come out every year. You had one last year, Zach, about the Jets. the Panthers seemingly have one of these every year. The Commanders. Broncos. Yeah, the Broncos. There's a lot of these dysfunctional stories, and it amazes me that I'm going to get through this podcast, I swear. You have these billion-dollar franchises that are run by successful businessmen, and there's so many of them that are just a mess. But you never thought the Patriots were that. But right now, it feels like that organization is messed up and heading to a big change.
I mean, yeah, it's reached a point that Belichick has his first like legit bad year, and he's on his way out. It kind of happened in Philly with Andy Reid at the end. He had a bad year and they moved on. And I think it was better for both parties kind of thing. But yeah, it's they always were the model of like an organization that just ran itself the right way. And I think Belichick lost his way to a degree where he started bringing in his buddies as coaches. And, you know, if you saw in that story, he didn't want to get rid of Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator, which it just like Amazing. Tells you everything. And Joe Judge is still there. Like there's just Bill O'Brien. It doesn't seem like wound up working out like the way they thought he would, which, you know, I think he kind of, people forgot that he didn't have the best reputation once he left the Texans about, you know, his personality. So, I mean, Mac Jones, I think there's been a lot of rumblings about him behind the scenes and how his teammates feel about him and stuff like that. So it's, usually the Jets are the ones with like the more of the controversy and stuff like that. And it's going to be weird. It's going to be weird seeing a different coach. I'm very curious to see if they stick on the Belichick tree or if they go outside of that when he's gone. And I'm very curious to see where Bill Belichick ends up, because I can't imagine he's done. I think he cares about that wins record. I think he wants it. So, it's been weird, but I think the biggest mistake, even beyond the coaching stuff, has just been letting him have the GM power unencumbered, because he's done a really poor job drafting, really poor job free agency. And I think that's ultimately what's killed them. These things come out when you're losing. If you're winning and there's dysfunction, then it's like, okay, it's fine. Like not everybody agrees even in a winning locker room, but when it's losing, it all gets exacerbated. And we see that with the Jets. I think to a degree, there's been some of that this year, but I think they've done a pretty good job of keeping it internal. The Patriots are going to be kind of the story of the offseason and Belichick and stuff like that. It's going to be very fascinating to see what happens. And Patriots are going to have a new quarterback again, a new coach, new structure, and I'm very curious to see what Robert Kraft does, because a lot of times these owners are a little too involved too, which kind of becomes one of the bigger issues, because they, you know, the GM and head coach have to be the front facing, like ones taking the bullets. But a lot of times the owners are the ones kind of pulling the strings. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out and how attractive that job is.
Yeah, and when they were winning, Kraft stayed in the background. But over the last couple of years, you've kind of heard more and more from him as things have fallen apart. speaking of who their next quarterback will be, they have a lot on the line this week because there's a chance the Patriots lose and a couple of things go their way. The Falcons need to win, and then two of like five other things have to happen. They could move up to the number two pick. But even if they're the number three pick, most people, I think, would say this is a draft with three stud quarterbacks. There's the two, and then Jaden Daniels would be the third guy. But like, it looks like the Patriots, they have a lot to lose for. More so, like, them winning or losing means a lot more than the Jets, I think, considering where they are in draft position. But also, like we said, Belichick doesn't care about any of that if he's on his way out.
That's like last year with Lovie Smith. Although that wound up working out, because if you go first, like, do they take Bryce Young or they take CJ Stroud? So that's why losing on purpose often doesn't really work out for, like, it's not the same as the NBA where you get a better lottery shot or whatever. And like, I think in the NBA, it's way more dependent on like if you have a star in the NBA, you're set. So you need the number one pick. Whereas I think the NFL, unless it's like a transcendent prospect, which I don't think these guys are necessarily, even if they are very talented. I think if you're in the top five, like I said, odds are you're going to get a good one, unless your evaluations are poor, unless you pick the wrong guy, or, you know, or if it's a bad quarterback draft, like when the Jets got Zach Wilson, it turns out that was a bad quarterback draft. So, a lot of it's luck, but, the Patriots are probably going to wind up with a good quarterback out of this, or at least a good prospect. And whether he works out will depend on the situation and the coach and all that stuff. So,
yeah. And that should decide what direction they go with the coach too. I think it'll be interesting. I mean, people, I know, you know, people up there have expected Jerod Mayo to be the next guy for a long time, but that was before it went as bad as it has gone. So I don't know if that changes the equation for sure, because he's part of that system and maybe you want to just blow it up at this point, but it'll be interesting to see. All right. Should we do picks to wrap things up?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Not to brag or anything, but I bounced my baby with my foot to sleep on this podcast. So
impressive. You're gonna become a
multitasking.
Your foot's gonna be jacked with how much you have to do that bit.
I'm not gonna lie, like, I can't complain that my husband like hits people all day long, and I'm like, my quad's
sore.
My quad's a little sore over here.
Hey, being a mom is painful too. So.
Oh yes. Shout out!
I can't say that from experience, but I feel like I can say that.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the standings for the picks. If you're checking us out on YouTube, you can see them. But Jimbo Brennan leading the way. I mentioned it. We wanted to get him on the show today. He said very nice things about the podcast and how we've helped him through the season, but he could not join. He has a 2-game lead on new Nijmegen Jets, and then there's a couple guys behind that. So it's an interesting race. Not many people over 500 at this point in the season, but that's why we don't really endorse putting money on games. But
how are you guys doing? You know, I don't really count because I did like 2 weeks and then forgot.
I was doing well for a while and then I fell apart. I've
had a rough stretch, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan Botter said he jumped ahead of me in the standing. So,
we'll listener.
Yeah, these lines brought to you by BetMGM. We appreciate them. So the games this week, a lot of these games don't matter, and a lot of these games will be teams that don't care. But there are a couple of interesting ones. We mentioned Tampa Bay, 8-8, mm-hmm. but playing for playoff race. And I think the big one, maybe the only big one, is Buffalo, Miami, where everything's on the line. The division, which means a better slot in the playoffs. It all comes down to this. And it's fascinating that the Bills are 3.5-point favorites at Miami, just because of the way the Dolphins have played down the stretch and the way the Bills have, I guess, because a month ago, that's not how that spread would look.
Pretty crazy. I mean, the Bills they're out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So
they could be. Yeah. But the fact that they could be the number 2 seed or out of the playoffs is pretty bonkers. And it kind of just goes into how crazy the AFC has been this year.
Wait, and that's a Sunday at 1 game.
No. Yeah. Don't. Yeah.
No, I was going to say.
I was like, I thought
that's when
like
you have to, That's when you have to get the pick in by.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I'm like, that has to be the primetime game.
Yeah, that's the flip. That's the primetime game.
Yeah.
So that game matters. Eagles-Giants is interesting because the Eagles obviously have something to play for still. They're in New York, and there's a rivalry factor to that one. And then the Jets, obviously. I took the Jets plus 2.5. I was surprised by the spread a little bit there, too, that the Jets are 2.5-point underdogs. But I guess on the road, it's almost just like a pick'em type game. Anything standing out other than that to you guys?
I'm curious about what happens in the AFC South because
Jacksonville, right,
the Browns will end up playing. So if Jacksonville wins, that will be the Browns' opponent in the wild.
Texans Colts are playing too, and they're both. Yeah. So
yes. Yeah. So this should be interesting.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So if Jacksonville wins, they're in.
If Jacksonville wins, they win that division.
Yeah.
And then I guess there's still a chance that the Colts make it.
I believe. Houston, they're both 9-7.
Yeah.
So if Jacksonville loses, the winner of that game would get in.
Is the division winner, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Yeah. That's
fun. So Houston.
And so I like that game is played first. So that it's not like the schedule makers did a good job for the schedule because that game is Saturday, Houston, Indy, I believe. Saturday. So they'll be big tight. Whoever wins that game, they'll be big Titans fans on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun when the divisions all match up like that too.
They
try to do that as much as possible.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Anything else from you guys?
Just wish me luck in Boston this weekend.
Yes. Good luck with the weather.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's exciting to be back. A lot of snow coming this way, so hopefully everyone stays safe this weekend and can just watch the games that matter. Snuggle up on the couch and enjoy the first big snow of the year. How much is the city getting, Tim?
Between 0 and 2, I think. They're right in like the slush.
So. Oh wow! Well,
For Ailey to get out in the snow. It's terrible. We even got her a sled for Christmas. So.
Oh, that's so cute.
It'd be nice to use it.
Yeah. But everyone says you get them all bundled up and then you get outside and they want to come inside. It takes like forever to get out. And then you're like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's true. But she's outside all the time. So the cold doesn't seem to bother her as much as it bothers her parents. I'll say that.
Understandable.
Yeah. All right. I think that's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week with a full recap of the end of the season, see what happened in this Patriots game, and look ahead to the offseason, basically. And then we'll be coming at you a little less frequently from there, but we'll still be with y'all throughout the offseason. Thanks for tuning in to the Can't Wait Podcast.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.